Good morning. I'm Deacon Ray Brown, joyful servant of God in this wonderful congregation. Today's reading is from John 1, 1 through 5, and that's on page 966 in your pew Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. May God give us understanding of this holy scripture.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Down to earth. I've always found it strange when persons say, "He's so down to earth." Speaking of a celebrity they've met, they are impressed that the person is not arrogant or inaccessible, that she talked to them, that he took pictures with them, that they shared a smile, a hug, oxygen in the same room. We don't expect to meet them, I suppose. They should not be found among us, but seen only on television and stages, in commercials and million-dollar dwellings, surrounded by paparazzi, security, and a traveling crowd of adoring, screaming fans. So we believe the celebrity sighting to be a once-in-a-lifetime event. It is an aberration. We don't think we will ever see them again. This is magic, a pop culture miracle. Let me pin it down with picture and signature, smile and sign here, thank you. We expected the red carpet to follow them down city streets, into elevators and public restrooms. We thought that the show went on every day, believing that the lights, camera, and Hollywood action followed them wherever they went. We did not expect them to be so normal, so common, so familiar. In fact, we are shocked, disappointed even, when we learn that they share our struggles, that they are not picture perfect in person, that they are only human. We are surprised because we believe that fame and money brings exclusivity, gated communities of people who are kept away from gray hairs, wrinkles, and the problems of life. It is a photoshopped existence, a social righteousness. We set them apart, view them as role models and upstanding members of society based solely on their gifts and talents. They are special human beings, born with the right body, the right face, the right voice, born into the right family. She's so down to earth. It never made sense to me. What else could she be? Despite our advances in sky and space, we don't live in the heavens. And even when we do, we still come from the earth. We have to land at some point because we are land, dirt, soil. I guess it means that despite their accomplishments and abilities, he or she was approachable, friendly, likable. They were not untouchable. They didn't think of themselves too highly. And the assessment makes sense because we have made these persons stars, placing them above us as celestial beings, heavenly creatures, and thereby out of reach. But there are those whose name is not well known, whose name does not appear on movie screens or come up in conversation when talking about the high and mighty, who do not have a fan base. Still, these persons without stage names feel that they deserve a following. They write and report their own press, speak of themselves in the third person, who, when given the slightest bit of control or power, use it to make others feel small. You may know some of these people. You may work for or with some of these people. They might be in your family. Just keep looking at me. They think that the world revolves around them and would orbit themselves if it were possible. It is these kinds of people who live in the clouds that we have to bring back down to earth. And humility is not a popular word in our society. No one wants to be described as lowly or meek. No, everyone is very important and more important than everyone else. We have fans and followers and like buttons. We have web pages and blogs with viewers and subscribers. People want to know about us. People want to know who we are and where we are at all times. They need to be updated, kept abreast of every move we make. We are our own paparazzi. Social media has made us all celebrities. Not many want to be fans anymore. Perhaps this is why it is so difficult for some of us to become followers of Jesus. Humility is not trending on Twitter. 10 Steps Toward a Humble Life is not a New York Times bestseller. I checked. It is not something that persons want to be when they grow up. We don't want to be humble. We want to be exalted. We want to be lifted up. C.S. Lewis said, "True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less." But who wants to think like that? Such advice doesn't seem to make sense to a selfie generation. The world wants to see me. It needs to see me. My fame is just a photo away, a post away, an update, a YouTube video away. We don't need to come down from our high horse. It's the way that they are made these days. Besides, we like the air up here. Perhaps this is why humility is often consequential. We are made humble. We are brought low. Because we are not baking, selling, or craving humble pie. My mentor and former pastor, the Reverend Dr. Troy Anthony Brunner, once said, "It's not hard to be humble when you've been humiliated." Unfortunately, this is the way to humility for so many of us. And regrettably, Christian humility sounds like an oxymoron. Though our faith is filled with them, pregnant virgin, God-born, crucified Savior, servant King, Christian humility doesn't seem to make sense. We have the true and living God. Doesn't that make us good, better, and best? We have the real God, and we continue to rationalize this conviction in order to colonize, demonize, and tyrannize the world. We use God's power and position to strengthen our own. Forgotten are the words of Ernest Hemingway, who said, "There is nothing noble in being superior to your fellow man. True nobility is being superior to your former self." Lost are the words of St. Augustine, who warned, "It was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels." Pride. It is an acceptable, understandable, and necessary sin. Perhaps it is a minor personal rebellion against the image of Jesus as a suffering servant, the towel-toting God. Perhaps we unconsciously view God's love for us as a weakness. Maybe we secretly resent God's seeming doormat grace. It could be that we want God to be the strong, silent type, the God who doesn't smile but looks at us with a stiff upper lip, a proud God who is untouchable, unapproachable, followed by a crowd of angels and not us, a God who is not down to earth. John's introduction to the good news of Jesus the Christ might seem otherworldly, visionary, supernatural. To be sure, he is only using words. No hocus pocus here. No smoke and mirrors. No magic wand, no top hat, no bunny, nothing up his sleeves. No tricks here. In fact, his words are said as a matter of fact. He is not trying to prove anything. He offers no documentation, no expert testimonies, no exhibits A and B. No, he knows in whom he believes and is fully persuaded. And his is the pen of a ready writer. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. John, the revelator he is called, reveals something else of Christ here. This is the gospel of revelations. Born of a virgin, but this is not his first entry into the world. He was in the beginning with God. That's who they are. Mentioned in Genesis, let us make man in our image. It was a group project. He was in heaven but came down to earth, and yet he's so down to earth. Jesus was with God, and now he is with us without bodyguard or special assistant. The sky did not come down to crowd him. The earth was not pulled from under our feet because he now walked among us. He did not come with angels, but would recruit his own disciples, chose them personally, not to receive an online degree in discipleship, but to walk with the brick and mortar of our faith, the chief cornerstone, God in the flesh, the giver of every good and perfect gift. Jesus was down to earth, not speaking in unknown tongues, but the language of the people, the language that we are born with, cooing and gurgling. He came down to earth not as an alien, but as a human being, not as a pompous mystery, but a sensible savior. Christ approached us, touched us, no appointment needed. He is the best of both worlds, the greatest of earth and sky, of divinity and humanity. Jesus is the only model human being. Flesh submitted to spirit, body bent, spirit kneeling. God wanted to help us, and he did not send a representative, but he came down to earth in person. And Jesus is divinity humbled, holy dirt, brought low and looked down upon. God bowing, our servant king. No, we don't serve a high-minded God who is almighty and likes to throw his weight around. He does not lord his power over us. He knows who we are, remembers our frame, that we are but dust, but does not hold it against us or over our heads. We serve the God who is not above being human, who does not feel that walking among us is beneath him. Christmas might mark the end of the season of humility for some. We've come down to earth to remember the less fortunate. We've done our annual community service, our missions project, our good deeds for the year. The gifts have been unwrapped, and we have brought joy to the world. The Christmas tree has been taken down, and with it, the reason for the season. Now it's time to get back to the real world. And it is not of this world, because we have not forgotten who we really are. Martin Luther said, God created the world out of nothing. And as long as we are nothing, he can make something out of us. Nothing. That's not a nice title. And certainly wouldn't make the cover of an issue on self-esteem. But our definitions of greatness are not of this world, and we should not make them so down to earth. The Reverend Jonathan Edwards said, "We must view humility as one of the most essential things that characterizes true Christianity." Yes, because it is pride that causes us to fall. It is the look of pride that God hates. How Jesus was born should bring us down to earth. He made the earth but had no place to lay his head, the homeless creator. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. Yet he came with nothing. The light of the world was hidden in a barn. The life of humanity was born of a virgin named Mary. What he did to prove his love for us should bring us down to earth. What he exchanged for our salvation should bring us down to earth. What he suffered and sacrificed should bring us down to earth. It should make us humble ourselves, lay our lives down in service to him and the earth he created. Humble God, who is the servant of all servants. We bless you for your word that challenges us to go lower, to get down, to practice our faith by putting our face to the earth. Quicken in us the desire to live prostrate before you, to serve, not to be served. In the name of Jesus the Christ, I pray. Amen. Now, in just a few moments, we'll stand and sing the closing song. But before we do, I would like to extend an invitation for discipleship and membership. If you don't know this God, this lowly Jesus, as your personal Lord and Savior, or if you are without a church home, then I invite you to come down to the front as a candidate for baptism based upon your statement of Christian experience or by transfer of church membership as the congregation stands to sing the closing song, The First Noel. Ooh.